God bless you. Be seated. But pick your Bibles to John chapter 13. And I read from verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Feet washing is one of the ordinances in the Bible. If you know these things, know what it means by washing one another's feet. Happy are you if you do them. And feet washing came up after the communion, after the Lord's Supper. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. The Last Supper is called the Lord's Supper. It is actually the Passover feast. And that last Passover was in Matthew 26 and verse 26. Can we read it? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. That was the last supper they had, the Passover feast, the last one he had. And blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That is after the rapture. Praise the Lord. And it was after that the devil put in the heart of Judas to betray him. And Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 began to emphasize how people come for communion service like this, and they come and they eat that body of Jesus Christ and drink his blood unworthily. The emphasis there, I said in the last communion service, and I'll continue to remind us every service, he's not talking about a fornicator coming to take the Lord's Supper. It's not talking about a ritual killer, a prostitute somewhere. It's not talking about a liar, a drunkard. As bad as that is, it's not expected that those ones will be among us. But what is among us that Apostle Paul was emphasizing that should never be found? That if you come in that estate and you eat the bread and the wine, he said, you are eating and drinking unworthily, and you are drinking damnation to yourself. And he said, because of that, the body of Christ is sick. Many believers are sick. They are weak and they are sick. He said, and some even die. What is it that will make somebody come and take communion service? Especially in a restoration service like this. What is it that can constitute unworthiness? It is the same thing that happened to Judas. Judas came to demonstrate the unity of that group. He ate with the Lord Jesus Christ. He called him Lord and Master. And yet, after eating together, he went and betrayed Jesus. The same thing today. When Satan wants to deal with us and reduce the power of the church, any church at all, what he does is to bring us to a situation where you see brethren betraying one another. What is it to betray one another? When you fall short of what I expect from you as a Christian brother, as a Christian sister, in your attitude towards me, you have betrayed me. When I have an expectation of you as a believer in relating with you, and you fall short of that expectation, you have betrayed me. There can be no other definition better than that. There are expectations we relate with one another. I expect you to stand for me. I will stand for you too. To demonstrate it, that I am part of you, you are part of me, the same blood of Jesus Christ that set you free is the same blood that set me free. We are united. I call you sister, you call me brother. I call you brother, you call me brother. What is it that makes you my brother is the blood of Jesus Christ. How did you become my brother? By what process? By offering his body and blood on the cross on Calvary, he united me and you. And we are united together like that. And that is what we demonstrate by taking that bread and taking that wine, signifying the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And once we come before the Lord's table, and we are supposed to be united together in love, bound together in love. Instead, we have rancors here and here, unforgiveness here and here, gossiping one another, destroying, assassinating one another's characters, lying against one another, somebody betraying the confidence and trust that I put on you as a believer. It's the same thing that happened to Judas will happen to that person. So to demonstrate that we are united by that one blood, that is why he instituted the feet washing. What is the feet washing? Feet washing is, we are not here to wash your dirty legs. You can do that at home. It signifies something. Amen. Praise God. It signifies that as a wayfaring man, a traveler from one town to the other, from one place to another destination, in those days, they didn't have cars. So, you have to trek or by any means at all, and you pick a lot of dirt and dust along the way. And then when you come, like Brother Bolas, Pastor Bolas from Uganda was trying to explain it the other time. And when you come into any house at all, it is a normal tradition in the East there in the Middle East there, that the house is so constructed until before you get into the main house, there is a place where you will stay, and then the evidence that you are welcome to that house is they will give you a bowl of water and they will wash all those dirt that you pick along the way so that you don't carry that dust into the house. And not just that, it also soothes your leg. Your leg, they are tired. When that water touches it, you know, it soothes it as it is washed away. And then that action signifies, I am welcome. And that's what Jesus Christ decided to use to teach us how we will live our lives on earth. Church, this singular point, if you don't catch it, I am telling you, you will live a very worthless Christian life. The attitude we behave to one another. Yes, I know that serpent seeds have crept in until you are suspicious of everybody because of your past experience with brethren. God will help us. God will give us wisdom. God will give us discernment. But when you are sure somebody is a believer, then be careful how you relate with that person. Be careful. It destroys fellowship. When we talk about love here is talking about how we relate with one another. We are to help one another out of problems, not to create more problems for people who are already in problems. What do I mean? When you see a brother or a sister in sin, that brother or sister is already in problem. When you begin to gossip people concerning the sin that person is found in, you are adding more problem to that person. That is why God hates gossip. God hates murmuring. God hates such idle talk. Always remember, when a brother or a sister is in need, and you ignore the person, when you are in position to help, you are ignoring Christ. These days, you will not see Christ again like this. You see Christ in brotherhood. Inasmuch as you refuse to do it to the least of these my brethren, you have also not done it to me. And as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. So that you will know, you are looking for Christ. Christ is not at the altar. Christ is sitting by your side now. You see? And these are some of the things that Satan uses against us, to accuse us. Because if two of you shall agree, hey, one chases 1,000, two will chase how many? 10,000. And imagine 5,000 of us gathered here today. How many will we chase when we come together? You see? In those days, when you have problem, the enemy is attacking you. All you want to do is just take me to the church. Just take me to the church. If there's a fellowship, I know there's fellowship there. I know there's prayer group working there. There's a prayer group there. If just take me there. Because you know, if you land there, 50 people may be having a program there. If those 50 people face my situation, it will go. But sometimes 50 people will shout, and that prayer is not even going beyond the roof. Why? Because seated there is full of carnality, one another, not talking to one another. Satan ensures that takes place so that we become toothless bulldogs. No power. There's power in unity. There's power in unity. And there can never be unity in an atmosphere of hatred and rancor. Yes. Because I am thinking this way, you are thinking the other way. When you begin to think for the progress of somebody, somebody is thinking for your progress, there is power in it. Let all the gossipers know that you can never be restored in that attitude. Let everyone that has no love for the brethren, just know it. Just know it. Why are you not able to see that people have problems? They don't have to come and tell you. You can know when somebody has a problem. Even if you can't help, you can pray. So, what is feet washing? Feet washing is opportunity for me and you to demonstrate our love for one another, because feet washing is what the Lord, Apostle John was saying. He said, confess your faults, your sins, one to the other, and pray for one another. What he's saying there is, come to your sister, come to your brother, and confess your problems. Tell my brother, I should come and meet you. See this weakness I have. This is what I do. Anytime I do this, I'm disorganized. It's a weakness. If I don't drink beer any day, I don't fit sleep. And I know it's wrong to drink alcohol. If I don't sleep with, if I see woman, my body they charge. Help me to discharge the current that is flowing all around me. Not now, when he says that, he's telling you this so that you can join him to wash the dust out of the feet on his, that he picked on his pathway of journey from earth to glory. That is what feet washing is all about. And not for you to hold it against him. When he tell you, say, ha ha, he told me, but I even recorded it when he was talking. So fornicator. Worse still is, God wants you to help another Christian brother, another Christian sister. Then he shows you a vision or a dream. And then you see him in a very compromising condition. And then you say, hey, I told you, I saw it, and my dream not a fail. What did happen? I saw. Then they sleep with themselves. Is that why God gave you that revelation? No. He gave you so that you can pray and intercede for him, for her. Church, this is what we have been restored to. Let brotherly love also be restored. It's only your business, it's not only your business that will be restored. It's not only your marriage that will be restored. Brotherly love in the faith must also be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's practice it. Godliness can be practiced. Before you know it, it becomes part of you. Giving can be practiced. Before you know what, you are no longer stingy. Amen. There are some people that it's when they give, they have joy. Yes. When they give, they have joy. Praise the Lord. That they see that somebody is happy, and that I am the one making the person happy, I get joy. But you started practicing it from somewhere. If you practice stinginess also, the time to give you refuse, the time to give you refuse, you become so stingy and you will be like Dead Sea. You know what is Dead Sea? It receives and it doesn't give out. It is below the sea level. Praise the Lord. Everything, all the yamanyama from all the rivers, everything flows into the Dead Sea. But it cannot give up because it is too low to flow. Water does not flow out because of the estate. And when you are also low in the spiritual level like that, you have nothing good to give out. You receive, 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 receive. And then you don't give, you become dead like Dead Sea. Praise the Lord. There shall be restoration of brotherly love. I say there shall be restoration of brotherly love. I say it again. There shall be restoration of brotherly love. May we use our feet washing today. Amen. And by it establish love. You can start with somebody. You are going to go there 2-2-2-2. Start with that person. And church, listen. When we talk about brotherly love, pray for wisdom also to deal with human beings. We have different types of characters. Amen. We are supposed to be givers and not receivers. We are supposed to be givers and not receivers. I am not attaching you to a Babi Allah. I am attaching you. Your partner is for prayers and not for you to be making requests. We have passed from filial love to agape love. We have passed from contractual love to agape love, God's kind of love. Where I relate with you not for what I will get from you. Not even because you deserve it, but because you are my brother. You are my sister. All these funny gifts that people give to people because they want to establish a relationship, they need something from you. It's not Christianity. That's business sense you are bringing into Christianity. Do it in the business field there. But when it comes to the body of Christ, be a Christian. Relate like brothers and sisters. Pick up somebody's problem and go to the mountain. Pick up somebody's problem and fast. Call your brother, call your sister. That problem you told me you have, we must solve it this night. Me and you, make we not fast. I mean, make we not eat. Let's fast. That is brotherly love. And do you know something? Anytime you allow the love of God to flow inside of you like that, you are actually bringing in more of God into you. For God is love. For love is of God. And he that loveth is of God. And God is identified by his characteristics. And number one characteristic of God is love and mercy. And the more you display love, the more God's attributes begin to form in you. And anything you do out of a heart filled with love, there will be results. When you pray for people and you not pray out of compulsion, and you pray because you have this problem, as young as you have cancer, na lie, this cancer must go. And you come and you pick that problem on your head and you begin to fast and pray, I am telling you, you don't need any shaking, you don't need any. The problem will go. It will go. Amen. I also know that some people have this serious problem. I had somebody who had problem like that. And I say, brother, let us fast. Let's do 3 days fasting over it. Then, at the end of the fasting, I prayed. And the problem didn't go. And I say, come, how can I do the type of fast I did for you? And the problem will not go. I am worried. Then he quickly said, brother, let me confess. What are you confessing? He said, throughout that period, I know fast. You know that brother is wicked. You will not get that type of partner in the name of Jesus. I say, you will not get that type of prayer partner in the name of Jesus. Who are you deceiving? So you make me to go hungry for 3 days. Crying for somebody. Where they say, hey, they go sneak, go chop. My God can't answer that type of prayer. To the forward, God will present himself forward. As you walk with God, that is how you walk with you. Stop punishing people. Now, that kind of thing will now make me to be suspicious. If I see another one now, what the devil uses as it, I go fast with this one now. I don't know whether I can go fast or not. So I had to take somebody for a fasting. Somebody who had HIV for a prayer in a camp. I said, now together we can go. It's a woman. I said, you stay in that room. I go stay here. No food though. Together with him. He said, the next day, say, daddy. He said, my belly just they pay me. My belly just they pay me. I said, it must pay you now. We never chop. Not be sickness. Your stomach is saying you need food. Okay, sir. So if I didn't go like that, the monitor, it was chop. I said, Nalayo, go inside. You're not going to die. Praise the Lord. I went with another brother one time in the camp. Then he stood up. He said, Bramosis. I said, wait. He said, I hear my stomach. They speak. I need food. You will not have that type of partner in the name of Jesus. I
And that the person will they pray for. That be my own problem. We were three. I didn't know that he has gone and spoken to the second person. He don't talk and talk and talk, and then the two of them say, "May they go meet Brother Moses, our next prayer session." And then I noticed he make eye talking now. And then he not talk. Then I thought, look, I said, "Brother, see what this one is saying." He said, "Not true. Now this is by grace, not by." I said, "Oh, you too. So we should break the fast." He said, "I said, if we break the fast, there's no need to stay in the camp. Let's break it, eat, and we go." And we broke it. And we ate. Let me make a problem now. May you get a problem. Then we enter motor. We came back to Lagos from Ajebo, near Ibadan. Praise the Lord. You will not have that type of partner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, "Moku, pray for midnight." Stay there, you go. Call and finish. The day we agree, you go call and no go pick. Call and no go pick. What happened? Say, na devil, I slept off. Yeah, this devil. Na lie, he was hearing the phone ringing. As they pray, they call. Oh, which got this one? Oh, that person sleeping. And so prayer. You will not have that type of partner in the name of Jesus. I am addressing some spirits. That's why they talk them. So that if you get that spirit, you go remember, say, they don't talk to that spirit. If you agree to do anything, don't break it. It is called truth breaking. You make agreement, keep it. Keep it. Stop weakening somebody's faith. And if you are too weak, then go and confess. "Brother, you say we could do this 2 days fasting. Can we do it one day? You say we could do it 6 to 6. Please, we could try small, small. Make we do it 2 to 12. Anything before, after 12, if you say, "Make I fast," now my dead body will carry. I just want to tell you the truth. Then you can now agree. Praise the Lord. But if you decide to play smart, and sister, go ahead. All of you, go ahead. Just go ahead. We are on. Then you are in one place, in another place. Who are you deceiving? I say it again. Brotherly love shall be restored in this ministry. Tell your neighbor, look him eyeball to eyeball, and tell him, "I love you." Say it a minute. If your neighbor not feel looking for eye talk, he gets something against you. Look him again. Eyeball to eyeball. Say, "I love you." You don't look at me. And they look at you. You do like this. "I love you." You go stand up. Go meet him. "Sister, I love you." Make sure the person see you eyeball to eyeball. Say it to 3 people around you. Let me hear you now.
Says the bride has made herself.